Hey, everybody. This is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt. We are continuing our coverage of Slam Dance 2024, and I'm very excited to talk to a filmmaker and dog trainer, which is like right up our alley. I know, you know, when I interview authors, a lot of times we end up talking about our dogs. It's just kind of like a thing that is very passionate for me. So I was very excited to see this film kind of pop up on the schedule. It immediately caught my attention. It's called Dog Spelled Backwards. It's going to be part of the episodic block on Monday, January 22nd, 5:15 p.m. up in Park City at Slam Dance. And we are here with Tim Almeida today. Tim, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. So I think what really grabbed me with this, I'm very passionate about dog rescue. I have three rescues of my own, and you know, with one of them in particular, a lot of challenges. I've had him for 4 years, and I loved that your film really was, you know, it was entertaining but very informative. Just kind of the dire nature of, you know, how many dogs are in kind of a bad situation. So I think what you do, I guess let's just, you know, tell me for our audience, tell us like what it is your film is about and kind of what you do with these rescue dogs, potential rescue dogs.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to note, right? Like, so for those of us, if you have a rescue dog or a dog from a shelter, then you're aware of that. But most people in their everyday life aren't really thinking about the shelter or rescue dogs. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? But like, once you're in the world, you're like, wait a minute, not everybody like has a rescue dog, whatever the case. and that's not to say that breeding healthy dogs into the population isn't necessary as well, because it is. But the film sort of touches on this crisis, in my opinion, and a lot of people in the industry, that most of us just aren't aware of, you know, the amount of dogs coming into shelters, the amount of like backyard breeding and strays and dogs being euthanized yearly. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dogs, and then cats on the other side of that too, being put down a lot of the time just because there's no space. You know, and that's in the film, I think there's a line I said it, you know, imagine we did that for people, just started putting people to sleep because we didn't have space for them. You know, we would just let those people live homeless, which is that's for another film. Mm-hmm. But you know, the reason why there's a really interesting thing, how it happened is, you know, I was in LA pursuing music and writing and all those fun things. And I was involved in rescue, and I had a rescue previously for 12 and a half years. She passed away. And then I took on another rescue named Alger, which is who the film sort of is based around, you know, my story and how that ties in. And Alger was this incredible, amazing rescue, but who also behaviorally was very dangerous. And he wound up going actually after a child, and I had to, you know, euthanize him for behavioral reasons. So the film dives into that, but more than that, it's really about like these, and you know this because you have three dogs, how they, if you allow them, they sort of connect you to this deeper thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. This deeper like ability to love and be patient and to lower your expectations. And like you said, with your one dog who you've had, I have one just like that, I'm sure. She's amazing, but there's certain things that can't be quote unquote trained out of or into her. It's not, the film isn't really about dog training at all, although it is, if that makes sense, you know. It's more about the human ego, the human connection to dogs, to ourselves, and what is there to learn, and how, you know, dogs connect us all. And that's why you and I are having this conversation right now, because of dog.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, and I think when I hear the numbers, I hear them all the time, but the numbers are so high, it overwhelms me. I can't compute. Like, in the film, 70 million on the street, 6 million are in the kennels. And then like almost 3.5 million that are companion dogs will go to shelters, and mostly dogs that are 4 years old and under. Right. And I think what was so, what you just said a minute ago about like, there's like a higher level of discovery of us as a, like as a human, like you really get tapped into so much more when you have a dog. And yeah, you talk about like the rhythm when you're training the dog in the film, using positive reinforcement, and you say something to the effect that it takes a lot longer, but it creates a stronger behavior in the dog. And I think so many things that, you know, like you said, a lot of people are just not thinking about it or aware of it. They think they want to get the puppy in the puppy shop. There's just so much that we can learn about ourselves from these animals. And it's such a beautiful, heartbreaking, but beautiful experience. You know, you have your dog Tipsy that you had for 12 and a half years. And you know, in the episode that I saw, heartbreaking, I mean, but it's like so many of us go through those experiences, and it's, you know, it's just such a powerful impact that these animals have on us that really makes us more human. I don't know if there's really a question in there, but just like how important this issue is, where we have millions or hundreds of thousands of animals in really tough situations. So,
right.
I'm interested how you decided to make a film about this. When did you kind of get the idea of like, so you're a trainer, that's your profession. You're very passionate about, rescue animals. When did you decide you wanted to make a film, covering your journey?
Right. So I think probably, and by the way, it's not to jump topics here, but that thing, like say the average dog lives 8 to 12 years, whatever it is, right? That heartbreak of losing a dog. There's also this, like, and this is for me, this is like this special, unique thing that only dogs or animals can do for us because they live such a shorter life. Like, we can learn to cope and you know, sit with like this death, which is, that's the truth of it all. And, you know, through even my experiences of losing my dogs, my experience of having to, you know, working in the shelter system for 5 years, having to actually sit in on either behavioral euthanasias or euthanasias for dogs that are just old and sick. You know, there's this constant lesson they're teaching of like letting go and, you know, being okay with that absolute awful heartbreak that's ultimately comes with having a dog, which in my opinion can just make us better for each other and help us cope with life better. But as far as like making the film, when did I decide? The film is a 4-part, so you know it's a docuseries. We're screening the pilot at Slamdance, but throughout the 4-part series, a lot of it is just like cell footage and things like that from when I was living in Los Angeles, whatever it was, 5 years ago. And at the time when I had gotten Alger from the rescue, I started filming a lot because something about me was like, I think this is going to be important. Let's just start to document your life with this dog right here. And it wasn't this like subconscious. I wasn't having this like vision like, oh, you're going to make this great film. I just kind of was like, hey, document what you're doing because this could kind of be cool. And I'm sure, you know, as a creative, there is always that part of your mind that you're like, how can I create something out of this, whatever it is I'm doing. So fast forward, when I moved back to the East Coast and would jump back into the shelter, working in the shelter system over here, that's when all of these, I was start to think like, I should make a film about this. And more importantly, maybe an overall series. And that's where the shelter to shelter campaign comes into play, where we want to go from shelter to shelter throughout the United States and film, and make content and meet the people that work in the shelter and meet the dogs and the long terms and the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. So we can start, you know, figuring out solutions. So I think the film sort of was like over time snowballing in like one idea into the next until I finally in the last 2 years was able to put it together. Yeah.
Nice. And I think one thing that stood out to me, you know, you watch some of the dog shows and things, and I think people or YouTube videos, people, you know, and I get it. They want a quick fix. If they have a dog that has some behavioral issues, they want a quick fix. And I think, like, from what I saw in the film, it just is like very realistic, encouraging patience, and just like how it takes a lot of work, and there is no like trick necessarily. There's no like immediate fix. And you know, the dogs deserve this. So I just love that you talked a lot about how, you know, in the shelter, it's such a high stress environment for the dog. They're really, it's hard to gain a fair assessment of what the personality is of the dog. And I think that that's something like, when I heard that, the way you worded it, like, I was like, yes, of course, but I had never really thought of it like on a deeper level. And it just is like, that's so true. It's like they're, you know, the people who work in shelters are doing the best they can with the situation they're in, but there's just so, you know, much stress going on. There's so much pent up energy. And so I think you really communicated that in a very like succinct way that just kind of clicked, and like, yeah, it makes so much sense. So like in the film, tell everyone about kind of like what you do as far when you go into a shelter. You know, in the film, it kind of explains the process, what you do. I just thought it was such an important thing that you're going in supporting this, trying to help the situation. So when you walk into a shelter, what's a typical experience for you?
Right. Okay. You know, each shelter is different, but each shelter is the same, kind of like the school system or, you know, or Target or Walmart or whatever. They're all different, but they're all the same, like people and like dogs. Where I am now, depending on the population, depending on, you know, what really is needed. This sounds harsh when it's put like this, but the goal of shelters right now, and for staff and volunteers, whoever it may be that's involved, we should be trying to find the most adoptable, friendly, awesome dogs and getting them out as quickly as possible. Because what's happened is we're starting to see so many just behavioral dogs. I mean, and when I say behavioral, I don't ever really consider dog behavior bad, because it's bad in our world, but for dogs, it's just dog behavior, you know?
Yeah.
A dog that bites because they feel like that's what they need to do to survive, right? And so, you know, lowering our expectations, we're asking them to live in our world. That's what's happening. We've created this really interesting relationship with dogs over the last couple centuries. And this is the first time ever that we were like, yeah, you know what? Come live inside all the time. So for them, from an evolutionary standpoint, they're just like, well, what's happening?
What you is know? This?
Yeah. And for us, we're like, yeah, like sit on the couch and be normal about it. But each shelter is different, but normally what we want to do, so we want to find really adoptable dogs and just get them out as quick as possible, because again, the longer they're in the kennel, and most places at least 22 and a half 23 hours a day they're sitting in the kennel. Mm-hmm. If they get out two or three times a day, you know, there's places like Maricopa County, Arizona. I know somebody that volunteers there. They have about 900 dogs in their shelter system right now. This is one county. The dogs get out, if they're lucky, once a week. 900, like you can't even fathom. 100 of them are huskies in Arizona.
Wow.
So, you know, different shelters, you have to operate different ways. The biggest goal is at least try to get the dogs out so they can decompress a little bit. If you work in a shelter that has the funds to hire like shelter trainers and behavior, then you can focus more on certain cases and go, oh, you know what, this dog, maybe he has like a behavior history, like he bit somebody, but it was, you know, he was like backed into a corner and he didn't really break skin. Let's work with that dog, build boost their confidence. But again, depending on the shelter population and really the resources and time you have, it depends. It's all very difficult, right? Because also each dog is an individual. And you can always say, well, you know, the dog bit because the human did X, Y, and Z, which is usually the case. You know, I will say in all my time in this, in my line of work, there's very, very few dogs that I will say were unpredictable. Where like, yeah, you just didn't know. Like, where you're like, oh, that dog is kind of, you know, dangerous. It's really dangerous. But over the last few years, there are more and more dogs that I think could be considered dangerous. And these bigger, stronger breeds, a lot of pit bull terrier mixes, tons of them. These dogs that have really high drive and are really strong. So that's the really, that's the biggest challenge is like, how do we get the easiest, most adoptable dogs out the door as quick as possible so they don't deal with kennel stress, lack of socialization? You know, dogs, what they go through in there is, I mean, I can only imagine, but you can hear the stress.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear it. And so, you know, again, depending on the individual shelter, you want to kind of go through the list, and it sounds terrible, but you go, okay, this is a priority. This dog can't be a priority right now, but if we can get out the easiest, most adoptable dogs quicker and quicker, then over time we have more availability and more resources to work with the harder case dogs, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. It's very, like, very practical. I did want to, I don't know how much you can talk about it, but I'm intrigued. So you're coming here for the film. You're coming to Park City, Utah for Slam Dance. But you're also, you're doing something with a shelter, a local shelter. Is that correct?
Yeah. We're Nuzzles and Company. It's a big rescue ranch there. I think they have 100 acres. So, yeah, I reached out to a few, shelters in the, you know, Park City, Salt Lake area. And I said, hey, we got this film into this film festival, which, by the way, that my friend who I made this film with, we met each other. We used to both break dance professionally.
Yeah.
So we met, you know, 25 years ago, and we used to make like hip hop videos, and we've been creating together for a long time. And this is the first thing we've actually like land. I mean, we just like, I was like, let's just submit it. I bet you everybody's going to love this. It's about dogs. Like, you can't go wrong. And sure enough, we got it to Slam Dance, which is really cool. But, you know, it's not so much about recognition of the film as it is to opening up doors to now sort of like connecting all these things and using the ability to stay creative through, you know, a medium film, which is the best medium. So we're going to this ranch, Nuzzles and Company Rescue Ranch, and I'm going to get a tour. I'll probably work with some dogs, but also interview, talk to some people, meet some dogs, and just kind of film what it really is at this particular place, where they're succeeding, where they're not, where they need help, you know, what they think could benefit the industry, what they think, you know, could go, like, sort of just start to connect all the dots. Because we're all like doing this thing together, but totally separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
know? Oh, yeah. And so I want to take this, what we have, the socials and this ability to just connect immediately. I want to take that and build this huge network of where every shelter and rescue is like, oh, go there. This content's amazing. We learned this here. You know, Tim was over there, and then him and the crew like connected here. I just want to. That's why dogs are here. That's just what I feel, to connect us all. And if we can do that, it's going to get better for everyone and every dog, I think.
Yeah. No, I love that you're like, the work doesn't stop. Like you're coming out here for the festival, but you're still making yourself available and useful. I just think that's wonderful.
That's actually this is not a knock on Slam Dance. Slam Dance is going to be amazing, but that's
sure.
Once we landed that, I was like, that's the most important thing of this trip.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And you know, if you noticed in the film too, because the dogs are already completely stressed, and mind you, so are the kennel workers and staff. Like it's all very stressful. My goal is to create a series and content that isn't this like set up, you know, let's take that shot again. You can't do that to like, oh, bring the dog out again and again. Yeah. Like, none of that. It's all going to be, hopefully, in my vision, very guerrilla style, but very well put together, and not sort of like, I just want it to be real.
Yeah. You know? I think that's so important, because I, you know, when I first got my little guy Cosmo 4 years ago, and you know, he was like a half Chihuahua, half Pomeranian, just scared of everything. He couldn't even get out of the, we couldn't bring him outside, at the Humane Society initially. And then I was like, well, he might be too much work. I don't need a third dog, but I really want him. And no one was adopting him. So I went back and got him that weekend and brought him home. And he's the sweetest guy, but, I think it's, you know, the other two were pretty well adjusted. They were younger rescues. This guy had clearly gone through some trauma, and I think, even like hiring a trainer, a local trainer, but then watching a lot of YouTube videos and things, it just made, I've moved past this sense, but, it just felt so slick and so like perfect that I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, can I even do this? Do I need to rehome this guy? Like, but I'm like, he needs us. And so, you know, long story short, he's the face of this podcast now.
Yeah. And
so, you know, he's got a little bit of fame, but I think it's so important for someone like you coming in, showing a very real approach to it, because it can be discouraging.
Yeah.
For the, you know, if you are watching something and seeing something so slick and it's like, wow, like they don't show like the thousand different times it didn't work before it works or whatever. So I think it's very encouraging, to approach it that way for people who are watching it and not feeling like I'm doing something completely wrong. And it's like, no, it just takes a tremendous amount of patience and hard work.
Right. That's absolutely right. I think there's a shift sort of in the dog training industry, which I'm really happy I'm starting to see, where, you know, a lot of us and people who I really admire in the field, like Matt Beisner, Kim Brophy, these names, if people want to look them up, but sort of we're like, wait a minute, what exactly is dog training? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what does it mean? Like, what philosophically, where are we going with this? And so for me, again, expectations are everything. And when you're dealing with dogs coming from shelter or rescue, automatically, if they've been sitting in a shelter, even if it's for a week, there's a little level of trauma there. Mm-hmm. You know, every time an environment changes, a dog has to change their behavior based off the affordances of the environment and how they can survive. That's what it comes down to. And so the expectation of dogs coming from those environments should be very low at first, or probably for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
But also the expectation of yourself, people bringing dogs into homes, shouldn't be like, well, you know, I don't understand why the dog isn't, you know, why can't I get this? Because you're not a professional dog trainer. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like giving someone a car who's not a mechanic and being like, here, I'll show you how to fix the brakes two times and just fix the brake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think there needs to be, this change in perception, like, hey, there's nothing wrong with you if you take a dog home. And even if it's just from a breeder, this is difficult. We're talking a different species with a different language, and we're asking them to live with us in our home. Then you add on shelter rescue, trauma, a dog that was astray, a dog that was abused, a dog that's been, you know, in a fighting ring, who knows? Most of the time you don't even know. Like, they deal in trauma. There's studies showing, you know, that can point at this point to even epigenetics, like dogs inheriting trauma from their parents. Mm-hmm. All this stuff matters. So my goal with the film, my goal with the shelter to shelter campaign, my goal with any media I make from here on out is to let the people know, like, hey, you're awesome. Your dog's awesome. This is a really difficult thing. A lot of behavior modification is based off behavior management, you know, and behavior takes a long time. That's it.
Yeah.
It takes a really long time, and you're going to screw up for sure, depending on what your dog's been through. Dogs that are in a fear-based state, like your dog, are the most difficult, you know, because our body language is like, it's okay, I want to hug you, you're going to be fine. And their body language is never anything like that.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what's this person doing to me? You know? That's the goal. That's again, the film isn't necessarily about training, but I do want to communicate to people. And the same way I communicate to my clients is like, hey, this is not an easy ask of anybody, you know, and there's those of us who are professionals who take on maybe take home harder dogs. We have a hard time too.
Yeah.
And anybody that tells you they don't, or like, you know, it's, yeah, it's, yeah, I can guarantee you results. Like, it's just not true. It's not true. You know?
Yeah. No, I love it. It's so like, it really fosters a lot of hope. And I think it's like just having the support, you know, I love it. So I want people to be, you know, I'm excited to see more from this. Like I absolutely loved episode one and I can't wait to see the rest of it. Where can people follow you online to keep, you know, abreast of what all the new developments that are happening, see new videos, just kind of get in the loop so we can all be aware of this.
Sure. I love that you said hope also, because I had three talking points and that was one of them.
Wonderful.
Yeah. All right. So that's good. So probably depending on what, I'm really only on Instagram. I have a Facebook page, but dog spell backwards underscore official on Instagram. But the best way to stay in touch is my website, trainingwithtim.net. And if you go on there, there's a slam dance page and you can just sign up for the mailing list. The film trailer's on there, press kit, press release, all that stuff is right on that one page. So that's the best way to go about it. If you're in Park City, you can get tickets to the premiere on that page and, you know, whatever else. So trainingwithtim.net /slamdance. That's the spot for now.
Amazing. So I'll have links to where people can easily click on that and bring you right to it. Tim, I really enjoyed this conversation. I'd love to have you back in the future. We can talk in a longer format, but this is really enjoyable to me. I wish you the best with the film. And I think it's super important. So I'm excited for people to be able to see it, you know, at Slam Dance. It's going to be a lot of fun, but you know, beyond Slam Dance, just to make people more aware of it. I think it's very important. So thank you for taking the time to be on the show and I will see you up in Park City, hopefully.
Yeah, I would I'd love to see you there. If anybody in Park City, come on out to the show. We'll hang out. We almost had puppies that we were going to bring puppies from rescue, but they wouldn't go for it because, you know, hotel and stuff. We tried. But I'd love to come down. Yeah, anybody with the dog, you're doing great. Just, you know, just keep the faith. It's all good. It's all good.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thanks.